ABC Listen.
Hello, 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 my friends. It's Ruby here, and this is news time.
Hello, Ruby.
Hello, Ruby.
On today's show, I'll serve up a story about an inter-school handball competition. Then we'll fly south to learn about World Migratory Bird Day. We'll learn about a new youth centre on the sunny coast and put on our art smocks to paint about our feelings. Then finally, it'll be time for...
Wow of the Week.
Absolutely. Before we get started, though, there's another big news story happening this week. Tomorrow, grown-ups around the country are voting in a referendum. The vote is about whether they think there should be an Indigenous voice to Parliament. We have a News Time special episode all about the voice and the vote, and you can find it a bit further down in your podcast feed after you listen to this episode. Okay, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Alrighty, here we go.
Story number 5.
Have you ever played handball before?
You have a handball and you bounce it to your friends, and the ball can only do one bounce.
You can't go out of your square.
That's it. Handball is popular at schools right around Australia. But beyond the basics, the rules can be different from school to school.
Not everyone agrees on everything.
Yes, exactly. And recently, a student named Ellie wanted to organise a handball competition between her school and some of the other schools nearby. Ellie is vice captain at Robertson Public School in the Southern Highlands of New South Wales. And she promised that if she was elected as the vice captain, she'd organise the competition. But the tricky part was getting everyone to agree on the rules. She worked with some of the students at two schools nearby, Barrowang Public School and Kangaloon Public School, to negotiate and agree on an official document called the Robertson Handball Tournament Rules of 2023.
That's cool because people like playing handball and maybe there's not enough handballs in your school.
Once the rules were in place, all the students gathered for the big competition. After rounds and rounds of handball, slogs, serves and cherries, the students at Robertson Public School came out on top and they won the first ever competition. The handball was great fun and the teachers heard almost every student say the words, "Best day ever." Ellie says she's already planning the next one.
Story number 4.
This weekend, it's World Migratory Bird Day.
Like, all the birds go in like a group and they fly. So if it's hot in Australia and cold in America, they come to Australia.
It means that they go around to different places.
Spot on! Migratory birds are birds that fly huge distances when the seasons change to find food and have babies. Some birds fly thousands of kilometres over land, mountains and oceans to get to their destination. These journeys can take weeks, so most birds like to stop along the way to have a rest.
Cool.
Most migratory birds rely on wetlands to help them refuel on their journeys. Places like tidal pools, lakes, streams and ponds that are perfectly packed with the kinds of food that hungry flyers need. And that's why the theme for World Migratory Bird Day this year is water. Unfortunately, humans keep polluting and building on these areas that are vital for migratory birds feeding, drinking, nesting and resting.
That means that they can't lay any eggs and they can't get any food.
And they can't stop.
You're right. World Migratory Bird Day is a time to focus on the importance of migratory birds and what we can do to take care of their habitats.
Leave some more wildlife for them.
You have lots of open space.
Great ideas. Because migratory birds fly from country to country, it means that all countries need to work together as a global community to keep them safe on their long journeys.
Story number 3.
Leon Stensholm lives on the Sunshine Coast in Queensland and works as a counsellor for young people. A counsellor is someone you can talk to if you're having a tough time. They can support you and help you through it. Leon has spent lots of time talking to kids on the Sunshine Coast about the things that worry them. And recently, he realised they needed more than just someone to talk to. They needed a safe space to chill out and be themselves. So, he has created one.
Good, because kids can go there when they're frustrated.
Because you can, like, have friends and make new friends.
Leon took all the money he'd saved up from work and used it to build a youth centre, a place just for kids with a gym, a basketball hoop, some pool tables and a chill-out zone. It was a big commitment. It took a lot of effort and hard work. But now the centre is open and it's very popular.
Because it has a basketball court?
That's definitely one reason. Since it opened in July, more than 650 kids have hung out at the centre. It's free to visit and they feel safe and welcome.
It's pretty cool because sometimes people get really sad.
It's nice having somewhere to go when you feel like you need to get away. Most kids come to use the gym, but Leon is always there and ready to have a chat if there's anything on their minds. And as more kids become regulars, the older kids are helping look out for them and supporting them. What a lovely community you've built, Leon.
Story number two.
If you're having a day of big feelings or sad emotions, how do you take care of yourself?
Cuddle a special toy.
I tell my mum and dad. Play Lego.
I draw.
They are great ways to cope with big feelings. The zones of regulation is another strategy you might be wanting to use. It's a special way of thinking about feelings, and you think of them as colours.
Mad is red, sad is blue, happy is yellow.
That's it. Understanding the different zones can help people move from feelings of sadness or anger to feelings of safety and calm. It can also help people regulate their emotions. That means taking control of them if they feel out of control or overwhelmed. Marley Isabel is an Arabana and Kukatha artist, and she mostly works with paints, creating big, colourful artworks that brighten places up. Not too long ago, Marley spent 2 weeks at an Aboriginal school in Port Augusta, which is in South Australia, working with students on an artwork about the zones of regulation. Marley and the kids painted 4 murals, one for each of the coloured zones, with messages that all zones are okay because it's important to understand our emotions. The students also painted a 5th one, a rainbow mural, celebrating the school's diverse cultures.
Because it makes them feel happy.
They also added Indigenous language words to the artworks from Arabana, Andiamatna, Pitjantjatjara and Yankunjatjatjara languages. They're the most common First Nations languages spoken by the students at the school. It was a very clever way to combine art and culture, giving the kids the tools they need to look after their emotions and express their connection to language and community. And now hold on to your hats, everybody. It's time for...
Wow of the Week.
This story made me go wow because I didn't know cows farted so much.
One of the biggest challenges to the environment is climate change. That is the warming of our planet because of things that we humans are doing. It's made worse by a lot of things, like driving cars and cutting down forests, and cow farts. Really?
Because it's stinky?
That's true, but it's not quite why. There are about 1 billion cows living on farms across the world, and the gases that cows burp and fart contains something called methane. Methane can build up in our atmosphere, trap heat, and make the earth warmer. One company trying to fix the problem is Sea Forest, with some help from seaweed. The Aussie organisation has been planting a native Australian red seaweed called Asparagopsis in ponds on land and in specially zoned marine leases, sort of like ocean farms. Once it's ready, they harvest the seaweed for the hungry cows to chomp on. When livestock like cows eat the Asparagopsis seaweed, it almost completely stops them from producing methane in their farts and burps.
Wow, that's pretty cool that cows can make a big difference in the environment.
Do they like eating seaweed?
I don't think they mind it, and it makes a big difference. For their hard work, Sea Forest has been named as a finalist in the Earthshot Prize. That's an important award given to a project that has a chance of solving some of the problems facing the environment.
That's pretty cool.
Very cool indeed. They're hoping to expand their seaweed farms to more places so they can move the methane out of the farts and burps of more animals. And look at that. We are at the end of another countdown. Thank you so much for your help, everyone.
Thanks, Ruby.
You are welcome. And in the meantime, don't forget to do the News Time quiz. It's in the show notes.
Have a good one, Ruby.
See you later. Or as they say in the Pitjantjatjara language, palia. News Time is an ABC Kids Listen podcast. For other awesome podcasts to play, music to move to, and stories and soundtracks for sleep, download the ABC Kids Listen app. It's free from your App Store.